Well, sadly, we've all been on the receiving end of a phone promising that we've won a star prize, a big pile of cash, or been entered into a fabulous raffle. We all know how we feel about them. Luckily, that kind of a nuisance call is becoming more of a rarity, but they're still commonplace enough to make us naturally suspicious of random people ringing us up.
One man who suffers the sharp end of this is Geir Lundestad. He's a recently retired permanent secretary to the Nobel Committee. He works for the Nobel Committee, and it's his job to inform the winners, and people keep thinking it's a hoax. He spoke to Monocle 24's Oslo correspondent Lars Bevanger about spending a quarter of a century of not being believed.
Geir Lundestad, you were the permanent secretary to the Norwegian Nobel Committee for 25 years. And this is the first year you're off the hook. Yes. You're also the director of the Norwegian Nobel Institute. Can I ask you, when a winner is decided on, how do you tell that person? Do they get to know it when they watch telly or listen to radio, or do they get a little bit of warning?
Well, we try to provide a warning, particularly for the lesser-known laureates. We think they need at least a half hour, 40 minutes, before they are thrown out on the world stage. We don't necessarily call the well-known names. I mean, Obama, he can handle this. Kofi Annan, he can handle this. And there is also often a danger of a leak if we call in advance. But the lesser-known laureates, we always try to reach them.
How do they react? Because I guess if someone called me, that would never happen in a million years, but I would think it would be a hoax. Has that happened, that they've said, who are you? Is this really real?
We have had all kinds of responses. I remember in 1995, we gave the prize to Joseph Rotblat and the Pugwash conferences for their work against atomic weapons, and I called Joseph 30-40 minutes in advance of the announcement, and he absolutely refused to believe this because he said he had read the speculation in the press, and they all speculated in the British press, that is, they speculated that John Major would receive the prize for his work in Northern Ireland. But I told Joseph, we are going to make this announcement in 30 minutes, so better be prepared. And well, the announcement was made and the world press rushed to his Pugwash office, but Joseph was nowhere to be found. He was wandering around in the parks of London, but he did show up fairly soon. And then, of course, he handled the press brilliantly.
Did he not believe you, or did he just...
No, he didn't believe me. He thought this could possibly be a hoax, or there must be something wrong, or he was... I think gradually he understood that this was serious, but he was overwhelmed. So for all these reasons, it took a while to connect him with the world press.
As you say, some of the laureates are well used to dealing with the world media and world's attention, like President Obama. But the lesser known... What is it like to suddenly have the spotlight of the world shone upon you?
Well, it changes their lives entirely. And they have all talked about this, and it has all kinds of effects on them. They could lead their rather quiet private lives, but no more. There will be constant invitations, constant encouragement to involve them in all kinds of work. And... Muhammad Yunus, the laureate of 2006, he used to say that before I got the Nobel Peace Prize, I screamed, but nobody heard me. Now I whisper and everybody hears me. So the Nobel Peace Prize for the lesser-known laureates acts as a microphone, a loudspeaker.
You say that you've been making calls. Was it always you, or did anyone else on the committee make that call?
Well, I mean, sometimes I would be in the company of the chairman of the committee, so we would both then talk with the laureate. I mean, in 2002, the prize went to Jimmy Carter, and how do you get hold of an ex-president in the middle of the night, so to speak, American time? But I called the Secret Service at the U.S. Embassy in Oslo and asked if they could connect me with the Secret Service, in which ex-presidents, of course, also have, in Plains, Georgia. And they did. And we did get in contact with Jimmy Carter. He was also overwhelmed because there had been constant speculation since 1978 that when he really deserved the prize for Camp David, but had not been nominated, that he would eventually get the prize. And now the moment had finally come.
You mentioned that there's always the danger of a leak if you call people in advance.
And we had one leak, but only one. This was in 2004 when the prize went to Wangari Maathai from Kenya. I didn't have her cell phone number, so I called the Norwegian ambassador in Kenya to get the number. I did get the number, but the ambassador beat me to Wangari Maathai. He called first to congratulate, and he didn't check whether she was alone or not. She was with a group of journalists, and the news spilled instantly. So that year, when the chairman walked up to the microphone to announce the choice of Wangari Maathai, it was obvious that all the journalists present knew what the outcome would be, because the news had instantly traveled from Kenya to the rest of the world.
Finally, we live in a world of instant media, social media. It's so easy to just someone spot a little sheet of paper with the name on it, take a picture, and it's all over the world. Do you have to be more careful these days? In later years, your last few years, did you take more care than you had in the past?
Well, we always tried as best we could to preserve secrecy. And on the whole, we were successful, but it was a constant struggle. And I'm pleased that this year they succeeded entirely, because nobody had speculated that the laureates would be this group from Tunisia.
That's for sure. They were not on my list, and no other list I'd seen either. Geir Lundestad, the former permanent secretary to the Norwegian Nobel Committee, thank you very much for your time.
Okay, thank you.
That's all we have time for today's edition of the Monocle Daily. Our thanks to Ben Ryland, Henry Rees Sheridan, Antonia Metzhäuser, and Chris Grimes too. For now, from me, Emma Nelson.
And from me, Peter Cardwell.
Goodbye, thanks. Have a very good weekend.
Bye-bye.